For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Raiders Fan Radio Podcast, taking that lighter journey into the dark side with Murph, Swag Jeff, and Michelle. She's got great hair. It's a little pink. It's a little purple. Whatever it is, I'll tell you what, if I could grow it, I would sign up for that color today. So listen to her and the entire crew as they give you all the information on the Raiders on the podcast that benefits the One Nation Foundation. It's a great cause. It's a great pod. Tune in. Turn it up. Here it comes, all that Raiders info and takes coming at you right now.
Jackpot, baby. Raiders Fan Radio.
Oakland, L.A., Oakland, Vegas, Raider Nation, wherever, forever. You got your old Uncle Mosh and Raiders Fan Radio from Murph's Man Cave, taking a lighter journey into the dark side. Sit back, put your feet up, pop a top, and enjoy the ride. Here we go!
We miss you, we love you, and we'll see you in the Hall of Fame.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization,
hey, you're set
and you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
Way up the middle, intercepted to Lupiano at the 50.
Raiders
have scored on the most seamless, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play.
Well, I love this team. I think this team can win.
You are listening live to Raiders Fan Radio. Take it away, guys.
Why, thank you, Brett Musburger. What is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for what we trust will be a fantastic episode of Raiders Fan Radio. Episode number 307 of Raiders Fan Radio, coming to you live from Murph's Fan Cave. Fan Cave 1.2, finally, starting to come together. Thank goodness. Jeez. We've been the Raider podcast nomads now for a hot minute, and so we're finally getting everything coming back together, so we appreciate you all very, very much. So this is the post-game show. We're just going to go ahead and jump right into it. I'm going to do this show tonight with everyone's favorite uncle. Let's toss it over to the man that adorns the now Eastern Annex of the Murph's Fan Cave desk.
It's still the Southern Annex.
He is Uncle Mosh. Get over, Uncle Mosh.
What's going on?
Hey, Mosh.
Man, I wish you'd have given me a crayon or a Sharpie or something, man. I could have done a Raider logo on the wall behind me.
Well, I got your logo on there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I could see.
You're so it's so fancy.
Man, what a great day.
Hey, anytime the Raiders win, it's a good day.
Anytime the Raiders win, it's a good day. You know.
Talk to us, Mosh. Tell us what's going on.
I got an issue.
All right, talk us about
yours. I haven't had an issue. You know, we've been doing these post-game wrap-up things, and we've been just... Bam, right into the game. But I want to talk about my issue. An issue. You know, we've been doing these post-game wrap-up things, and we've been just, why am I hearing myself like that?
Oh, because I just connected the phone to the Bluetooth, and
Does that mean we're going to get a phone call?
Yeah, it means we're going to take live calls.
We sure are. We talked about that.
We're going to take live calls after, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. It was my bad.
No,
go ahead.
That's all right. I was hearing myself, and I thought, you know what? That's the same thought I'm having right now, and I thought I already said it. No, so here's an issue. So okay. We went to the Raiders game. Last game that we went to was the 49er preseason game. We had a ball. Okay? you may not know, but I'm a little older than Jeff, and I'm a swaggy Jeff, and I'm older than Michelle, and I'm older than Murph, and cousin Sonny, and I got my way of doing things.
Yeah, you do.
You know, I was brought up. You know, a man tucks his T-shirt in. You
change, to his underwear though.
No, I don't tuck it in my underwear.
Oh, okay. Well, that was Uncle Ed. Uncle Ed used to tuck his T-shirt into his underwear.
Okay, you want to tell the story? Or do you want to just you want to settle for a slap there, hot dog? Anyway, my point is, I go to the game, right? I'm wearing socks, okay, because I got athletic shoes because I'm an old coach. So I got my athletic shoes on, I got my socks on,
yeah,
and I got my shorts on. All these things that I'm wearing are probably collectively about 100 years old because you don't throw it away if it's still got some use to it, right? So okay. So they take a picture of us standing there, right? You, cousin Sonny's in his slides, and you and Jeff have got all your fancy Raider shit you bought at the damn swag store.
Oh yeah,
and you got all this stuff on, and I'm like, no, I'm dressing for comfort. And somebody writes, "Oh, don't know who this guy is, but I'll bet he has a nice lawn." Well, you know what, fool? Let me just say this to you, fool. I wore that same outfit to watch the game today, and I call it an outfit loosely because that's what Jeff told me it's called when you put a conglomeration of clothes together. I just called it my. I
called it my. Call it a fit.
It's my game. When I was a kid, a fit was what you used to run heroin. Okay. But what I'm saying right now is that I wore the same collection of shit today, and we won. So let's don't go. Tell me about my lawn.
Love it. Get a mosh.
Well, my lawn sucks. But nah, all kidding aside, man, what a great day today was.
It was great. It was great.
I want to jump back a few weeks.
Okay.
Last time I was on was... We talked about some bad things that we were seeing happening, and you said it was a pretty serious conversation, and you said, "Uncle Mosh, when do we pull the plug on McDaniels?" And
yes.
I said, "I'm not ready to pull the plug on the McDaniels. I'm ready to see how the team responds." And since that time, we've gone 2-1. And I think I know that I'm not going to call them garbage teams because there is no such thing as a garbage team in the NFL, especially with the parity that how it's set up that there's just not an awful, horrible, crappy team. There's some that are pretty darn close. But then again, you get somebody that's undefeated, like the 49ers today, that end up taking a big loss.
Yeah. Okay?
You get somebody that's not totally horrible, completely just in the bottom of the barrel, and they go to the Titans, and they got beat pretty handily over in England, okay? So there's a lot of things that play into every game. And follow along with me. What I'm saying is that I wasn't ready to pull the plug on McDaniels. Now, I listen to this show. I'm not involved in the day-to-day stuff that I am anymore, but I still listen to the show. And you guys are anti-McDaniels. And I'll go on record as saying you are. Y'all don't like him. You make fun of his hat. Or visor or whatever the thing is that he wears.
Yes.
You don't like his pedigree. You don't like his lineage. You don't like his attitude. You don't like. Let me finish. You don't like the fact that he came in with a plan and he has stuck to his plan. You guys have gone on record as calling that arrogant. You've called it short sighted. You've said that he's everything but just an ignorant fool that didn't learn anything from Belichick.
Don't forget fat ears.
And he's got fat ears. And everything. You know what? I'm not going to talk about fat ears because I got them. But the point is, I said all that may be true, but we didn't. We didn't hire him to get rid of him after four games. We hired him with an extended contract, so to speak, not quite like the other guy.
But it's 4 years. It's 4 years.
But it's a good deal in the coaching world. Absolutely. 4 years is a good deal in the coaching world because the coaching world is very fluid. It's very liquid, and these guys, you know, they long term lease. They don't buy. And I went on record as saying, let's give him a chance. Let's see what the locker room does. Let's see how the players respond. Okay, they weren't going to be able to flip a switch. Follow along with me. They weren't going to be able to go in there and flip a switch and go from zero to hero, but they have shown improvement. Have they shown improvement across the board? Absolutely not. Where's our red zone offense?
That's
okay.
Yeah.
But what was the last play of the game? Thank you, Max Crosby, for a defensive score, putting us over 20 points. Okay. So I heard you talking about this, and I was glad to hear you say it. Yes, our defense is balling out. Our offense is a little suspect. When last year, it was our defense that was suspect.
100%.
When we gave the ball back with 2 minutes and 33 seconds left, it was all marked up as an L, you know? But it didn't happen today. It didn't happen last week. You know, there's some good stuff that's going on that I have to take total opposite side of where you and Jeff and Michelle are.
Okay. Well, and that's fair. And, you know, listen, and radio is not great when everyone sits around and agrees with
each other.
You know what I mean? So, but I stand by still, and until there's a track record that gets established over a length of time, I still stand by all of those comments. I still think he's a weak leader. I still don't think any of those things, but what I do hear loud and clear, your point of, it takes time. Like, was he or the Raiders or whatever, was any of that going to have a switch flipped and have it change week in, week out? Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. But what I will say this, though, these are bad football teams we're playing. And we're playing another bad one next week. And so when we move into having a winning record, when the Raiders move to 4-3, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Raiders have improved. It just means that we're good enough to beat the bottom tier of the NFL football teams. And so I think that it's fair to also consider the context of what's going on. And you're a former coach or a lifelong coach. You've never been in that camp of getting rid of coaches. And so I respect that entirely. Let the man's vision play out. I understand that. Let his system play out. Give him a few years. All those things are very valid points. That said, for what we've seen so far, I don't know what evidence, and I would ask you this question, what evidence has been established other than some improvements on defense? What evidence has been established for you to look and say that, okay, this is the right path for the Raiders to stick with this coaching regime? It's because I don't think that the wins and losses are going to be the true indicator. I just got done talking.
Oh, no, you were dead on that. You were dead on that. That's exactly what happened to Jeff Fisher. And that was the analogy that you drew. You said, okay, so if we win, pardon me, if we win all the bottom teams, okay, then we haven't really accomplished anything. Or if we go to the first round of the playoffs and get our butts handed to us and sent home, what does that say? It doesn't say anything. And if we are consistently doing that, but we can look at it and say we have a winning record, well, prior to those series of years that Jeff Fisher did that with the Titans, he had this amazing winning percentage. Sure. And then all of a sudden, he drops down and he's stagnant in this mediocrity level, okay? He was planet Earth.
This is one of my favorite mosquitoes coming.
He was
do it.
He was the largest of the little planets and the littlest of the large planets. He could have gone with either gang, but he stayed right there in the middle. You know what I'm saying? So you're the big dog in the small pond, and you're the freaking bait in the river.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh,
he,
right?
And that, so he was planning, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
If we don't see something now, with that in mind, I say that you guys were wrong, 100% wrong, by saying it was bad for him to come in with a plan.
That ain't true. That's not true.
What is that? What is that? I've never heard that one.
You never heard that one?
Do it again.
Or says he's fat.
Fat. So I say that any coach that doesn't come in with a plan is a fool.
Absolutely.
You
know, well, sure, sure.
You have to have a plan. You have to come in. You have to have an idea. And that's all part of the whole interview process. There was multiple people. It wasn't just, hey, we want this guy. We want Josh McDaniels. You know, there was an interview process. So what is your plan? What are you seeing? Okay, this is where I think we need, this is where your deficiencies are. Your deficiencies are on with this position, this position, this position. We have to look for this in the draft. You know they talked about all that in the interview process. They had to have. So they, whatever it was at the front office, they liked McDaniels' plan. You and Michelle and that and the little fat guy, the former fat guy that sits here.
Or says he's fat.
Y'all didn't like that, okay? But I think you're wrong because I think that you go in with a plan, you have to have an opportunity to play that plan out. Now, with that being said, what's the key to happiness? Flexibility. You have
there
to be flexible.
Go. Come on.
Okay? So you have to be able to adjust your plan. Every game that's ever played that's played well with a staff goes in, and unless it's going 100% the way they do it, that's why we have halftimes. That's why we make adjustments. Okay? Does it mean completely shit-canning your plan and going in another direction? You can't do that in the middle of a season. You can't do that. You can't. And I heard Michelle call him arrogant because he sticks by his plan. No offense, Michelle, I love you. But
I said that too.
But I don't love you. But you can't. you can't just say no. I'm not going to do my plan anymore because we lost two games. It's not working. Yes, you're going to lose games. Why do you think every coach scripts out however many plays they're going to call, and they stick to that whether they work or not? And that's everybody from. Oh my gosh, that's been going on from back. Tom Landry used to do that. Remember when John Madden used to carry the papers in his waistband?
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't the McDonald's menu. Okay, that was the plays
well,
they were.
It was in there.
Yeah, well, it was written on the back of one. But it was, you know, it was the plays, and they have to stick by them because they have watched film. They have an idea. They know what they're doing. And they have to stick by it to see if it's going to work. Okay, it's a lot different now. It's color-coded, and they're going, okay, if it's 3rd and 10 and we're on the 20, and they got
that's
the charts, and they can
now.
Go,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah
and
yeah.
They can go, and they can go, this works, this works, this works. This is where we got to go, all right? With all that being said, I'm sorry that Garoppolo got hurt, but you know what? We look good after he went out.
Hoyer, man, found Trey Tucker, didn't he?
Troy, how do you stay in the league for 15 years? The man's 37, 38 years old.
Well, he backed up Tom Brady. So, I mean, you know.
That's not the point. You don't think he learned something from Tom Brady?
Sure, yeah.
You know.
Well, I think you had said it, like, it's funny how it took Brian Hoyer to throw the ball downfield. Like, yeah, out of all the,
no shit.
All the guys that we thought would have been able to get the ball.
The guy never stopped. He was running. He turns around. He looks, and the ball's there.
It was there.
That doesn't happen with our starting quarterback. And God forbid that anything should be permanently wrong with him. You know,
that's because that's kind of a scary situation going to the hospital with a back.
Scary. Yeah, and the fact that he's, you know, that he's no spring chicken, you know,
no, he's been around for a minute.
And he's got that. He's got that's always like you said on the earlier show. That's the knock on Jimmy G is that, you know, he's accident prone. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. I just know that I can't get on the kill bandwagon for the coach. I'm not saying that he's I'm not, you know, ooh, coaches are the second coming and I'm going to go buy a visor. You know, I think I'm seeing good stuff.
Okay.
I'm not seeing everything good, but it's not going to change overnight. We wouldn't have training camps. We wouldn't have pre-camps. We wouldn't have off-season workouts if we could flip a switch after one game. It doesn't work like that, boys and girls. Sorry. It's a process. And sometimes you just have to say, trust the process. If the process doesn't work, then you get it. You get a new process server.
Well, you know, and shout out Hooligan Nation in there. And I know he did a super chat, and I'm sorry on these shows here. We're still in the process of getting everything set up here, so I can't keep up as well. But Hooligan Nation, dropped a $20.
Yay!
Oops. Jeez, that was the wrong button.
I got it.
There we go. Hey. Dropped the $20 super chat there. We appreciate you. He says, just one, baby.
Y'all, sweet.
And also, we had Jay from Silver and Black. Salt City Silver and Black.
I love it. Come on, Jay.
Got $10 in there. We appreciate you, Jay, very, very much. And so appreciate everybody's in the chat room. Let me shout out a few of you. We got Loyal to the Soil is in there. Boogie is in there. Johnny Tildwoods is in there. Stacey Ruff is in there. He says, I missed the bar already. Oh, we don't. We don't miss the damn bar. Jay is in there, as I mentioned. James Furpo, Cool Kev. Nick209 is in there. Ariel Zuniga's in there. He says, Mosh is on planet Uranus. Michelle is in there. Foxy Scorpio is in there. Boogie is in there. Hey, Michelle, glad to know that my uncle loves you more than he loves me. Salvo Zen is in there. We appreciate you very much. We're on the Materator holding it down. So many of our good friends. And here's the thing. Like, listen, I don't want to... Vibrator is in there. She says, who ate all the cookies?
It wasn't me. So
somebody got into the stash while she was gone. Now she's back. Johnny Tildwood says, Uncle Mosh is fire. Absolutely, he is. That's we love our Uncle Mosh. Yoshi is in there. We appreciate you very much. Yoshi is a member. We appreciate all the members of Raiders Fan Radio that are in there with the green. Ty Davis is in there. He just pulled up. Here's what I'll say. Let's go to positives because we're, as I said, radio isn't great when everybody sits around and agrees with each other. So I'm gonna still hold to my opinions about McDaniels. I think that the questions are still prevalent enough, and until there's a signature win, I know you don't like to talk about the ex-girlfriend, but when we talk about Derek Carr and we look at his career with the Raiders, one of the things I used to throw out all the time to those, and listen, I was a Derek Carr supporter until the day he put on gold.
Most
black
of the time,
for the most of the time, always defended Derek. So when I was at times willingness to look and be critical of him, I would look at it objectively and say, okay, well, what are his signature plays? What are the signature moments that defined him? When you look at like the greatest Raiders quarterbacks, when you look at Kenny Stabler's the most glaring example, and you have, the holy roller and the sea of hands and, his run into the end zone on bad knees and the immaculate deception to even make that thing a game to begin with. Like, there's just numerous moments in Stabler's career that were signature. When you look at Jim Plunkett in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, the pass to Kenny King on the sideline for him to take it into the end zone, the passes to Cliff Branch. There's so many signature moments to those men's career. What was the signature moment for Derek, right? And I look at that and I'm like, and I think that it's challenging to come up with a lot of those. There are a few, a couple to Crabtree, one against the Chiefs, the one against the Ravens, those throw to T.Y. Hilton.
There was a testament to the man's toughness, though, too, Josh. There was when the guy's finger was turned in the opposite direction, and he fix it, clink, throw a hook of tape on it when he dove into the end zone. Coming back from insurmountable crappy front lines that just got his butt beat to crap. There was a lot of it.
Okay, but hold on. But I want to make it about Derek.
But it is about Derek. And what I'm saying is that he went out bad. He didn't go out good. He went out bad.
Fair.
And this was no Sandy Koufax. This was not a guy that went out at the top of the game.
Sure, Peyton Manning or whatever.
Peyton Manning. So he went out bad. So there's obviously not going to be right now because it's still a fresh wound, and it is a fresh wound. Those of us that were 100% Derek bootlickers for 9 years, we felt a little slighted. How many times can we defend his record? How many times can we defend? And you and I and Jeff and everybody else that's ever been behind any of these mics in this camp fan cave have done that and have said, as long as he's wearing silver and black, he's our man, he's our man, he's our man, he's our man. And now he's not.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And so he, but that's, yeah, I see what you're saying. He went out bad.
But hold on. So where I'm going with this though, is that there was a challenge for signature wins. Okay. When you look at coaching, when you look at Madden, when you look at Flores, Black Sunday, Madden on Super Bowl Sunday, Madden, there's so many amazing moments in the playoffs, beating the Steelers in 75 or 76. There were definitive moments. What are the definitive moments that, again, that would inform you? And I want to keep it positive. So
sure,
I don't want to just beat up.
Sure.
This is not me looking for a reason to beat up on McDaniels. But I'm saying that, when you've got to win against a Patriots team that's down bad, and I don't even want to live in the past because people are here to hear us talk about the current state of the Raiders, and so I'm not trying to live in the past, but I'm trying to look for something to be positive
about. Ask your question because I got an answer. I know exactly where you're going.
All right, what are the indicators that he has given you as a coach, aside from beating very beatable football teams, okay, that he has the ability to take this team to a next level? Because remember our position of context, our position of what our reference point is John Madden, a guy that would fight and die for his players, a guy that was on the front line in the officials, with the front office, everything else. Tom Flores, not as fiery of a leader, but still equally as great of a leader of men. Okay. And listen, I know those were many, many years ago, but those are in your wheelhouse. Those were the years that—
So are you asking that as the question?
Well, hold on. I'm getting to it. But those are the— I know it'll take a minute. You've been on the show. You've been on the show before. You know how I roll.
You already had 9 question marks.
I know, and I'm going to keep going. So, but those are the things that formed your fandom. Those coaches are literally in your wheelhouse when you came up as a Raider fan.
100%.
Okay. So what is it about Josh McDaniels that would make you that ride or die here this early on based on that's the standard is up here? And so that's the part that I don't understand.
Okay, then listen and I'll explain it.
Okay, please.
That is a non sequitur question. All right. Does not flow.
All right.
Because you're asking me to make a comparison over somebody that had, just for lack of numbers, 16 seasons versus 6 games. You can't do it.
But it's not 6 games. It's a year and a half now.
I'm talking about this year. You said we're not going back.
Okay. Fair enough. All right.
So we're saying that these guys built a dynasty. They built a legacy. Okay. Madden didn't just come in 1 season and 6 games and everybody went, oh, John Madden, he's going to make video games. He's going to go in the Fall Hall of Fame. He's the greatest thing ever. Let's give the guy a shot. Let's give him a chance. First of all, he didn't come in under great circumstances.
No, you know, the worst, arguably.
Arguably the worst. So let the guy have a chance to run his game. Let him have a chance to run his game. Let him have a chance. So you and I sat there and looked at the schedule this year. We said, okay, we can beat this team, we're going to lose to this team. We can beat this team, we're going to lose to this team. He wins one of those games, he beats the Chiefs. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
And what I'm saying to you is, let's finish out the season.
Okay.
You're wanting me to make this definitive statement about why.
I want you to hate him like I do.
No, it's not going to happen.
But yeah. You know what, though? But see, and that's where I was going with the whole, and wow, it was a little bit leading, but you know me. And
I knew right exactly where you were going.
That's the kind of shit that this Raider staff and this team needs to do. You want to change the narrative. And we've talked, I don't even like that word anymore because I feel like we use it so much, but it's the damn truth, Raider Nation. If we really want to truly change the narrative, if the Raiders and Josh McDaniels want to change the narrative, as long as things aren't going well, every critic of this football team is right. You can pick apart his game management. You can pick apart his play calling. You can pick apart their choice of personnel. You can pick apart everything. And as long as the Raiders have a shit winning record, you're all right. So it becomes incumbent upon Josh McDaniels and this coaching staff. You want to change the narrative? Beat the Chiefs and the Dolphins in back-to-back weeks.
Well, sure.
Then all of a sudden, we talk in a whole different language.
Or beat one of them.
And that's what I'm saying. But until we'd have that, like, beating a weak-ass Broncos team, beating a weak-ass Packers team, beating a weak-ass Patriots team, we're going to beat a weak-ass Bears team. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to beat the damn Broncos again. We're going to beat a weak-ass Giants team. We're going to beat all these weak-ass teams. You want to change it, Josh McDaniels and the Raiders? Do something definitive. And I'll say this too, Mosh, and you know me. My favorite head coach in the NFL is Josh McDaniels. He's my absolute favorite coach because he's the Raiders coach.
Yeah.
I want him to be the best he possibly can be. I root for the Raiders that are, not the Raiders that aren't. My favorite quarterback today was Brian Hoyer. My favorite defensive end is Max Crosby. My favorite receivers are, you know what I mean? Like, we can go on down the line. My favorite players are the ones that are currently in silver and black.
Correct.
Coaches, owners, everybody that represents the silver and black. I want you to be successful as you possibly can be. But even me, Mr. Optimistic and Captain Positive over here, I got a breaking point, man. And it's like, we start seeing results like, let's try something else.
Results you want out of after you've won 2 in a row.
Well, and there you go. And there you go. Context. So speak on. So we've got the Bears. Okay. So let me ask you this. So we got the Bears next week, right? Very winnable football game. An entirely winnable football game. A game they should win. You want to talk about changing the narrative? If we lose to the Bears, it's going to go the other direction.
Should it go after one game? Shouldn't we look at the big picture? Should we keep? Should we?
Well, if you look at big picture, it's even worse.
We're gonna be turning ourselves into a whole bunch of bipolar nuts. Worse than we already are, because you're saying that if we lose one, we're supposed to win, or if we win one, we're supposed to lose, and all of a sudden we're like, yeah, oh.
Well, yeah, but we got to play the one that we should win first.
Absolutely, and I'm saying this: if we go into the Chiefs and we go into the Dolphins and we give them a run for their money, and we stay with them, and even if we get beat. Sorry, but you're going to tell me that all those years that the freaking Pittsburgh Steelers beat us in the 70s when Madden was our coach?
All right.
Not one person said get rid of Madden. All right. Not one person, because we were in it.
But those were AFC Championship games, though. Those were AFC Championship games. You got to give me that. Context. AFC Championship game.
Trying to tell you, you can't go for the AFC championships when you're not AFC championship material.
And they're not there.
And right now we're not AFC championship, but we're building.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you this. We got the Bears next. We know
very winnable game.
Lions.
Lions is a toss-up.
Toss-up?
I'm saying it's a toss-up. Because you know why? Because I just don't trust the Lions. No more than the Lions fans trust the Lions.
Well, that Dan Campbell's a hell of a coach.
He's
man.
A hell of a coach. Hell of a coach.
Giants. That's at home in Allegiant Stadium. I think that's a win for the Raiders. Jets, as you mentioned, they pulled off a big one today.
Golly. Yeah.
Crazy. They're a wild card. Then the Dolphins.
The Dolphins. Can you imagine if we hung with the Dolphins?
Here's the thing. If we go into Miami and beat Miami in Miami, like that's huge. Like that's the kind of stuff you're looking for.
If we score in the red zone. You know?
All right, so Miami, then the Chiefs at Allegiant.
For me, it's respectability, Justin. Okay. Now I know you can't. I know
Johnny Tildeman says Unk is my new favorite Raider fan. I like how he thinks.
Well, I know you can't pay for things with almost wins.
No, you can't.
But if you're in there and you're looking and you're going, damn, they just scored one more time than we did. You know, if it's a slugfest and we're back and forth and we're back and forth,
if it's well played
and we're in it and the lead changes or we're right on their ass the whole time and they know we're coming and they know they've been in a dogfight and by God they knew they were in a dogfight today. You know, ask any of those rookies that had to go against Max Crosby all damn day.
Oh my gosh, how would that false start? How fun was that, man? When that false start happened, when that one happened late, I hollered. I'm like, oh, please tell me that was up against Max Crosby. That had to have been up against Max. And sure enough, they're like, all start 68 or whatever it was.
Oh, that poor kid. And he was a rookie, too.
What was his name?
Was it 62 or 68?
I don't remember.
Was it Cox?
Yeah, three-letter last name. But anyways, that was
poor rookie, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So then we got Vikings, Chargers, Chiefs, Colts, Broncos again. So I'm for those of you that didn't see me on the Silver and Black Today show, I'll just tell you this. The offseason, I said 9 wins. Like, I feel like the narrative, again, there's that stupid word. I feel the narrative on this team is going to be they've gotten better. And so, therefore, there's going to be no changes made. That said, that was the same thing that established for John Gruden. And this team was seemingly on a roll in year three before all the craziness happened with John Gruden and his illicit emails and then Henry Ruggs situation and all that stuff happens. And the team was still able to squeak out 10 wins and make it to the playoffs. If we're following that same trajectory, and history doesn't always inform your present, but I think there is a rhythm to things. If the Raiders win 6 games in Josh McDaniels' first year, we go 9-8 this year. And I want to get away with this and get some more into specifics too, but because we're talking big picture stuff. But I really do think that this is like a very likely scenario that we're going to hit on 9 wins this year. Everyone's going to get retained because if the Raiders won 3 games this year or 2 games this year, Josh McDaniels is probably gone. And so is probably Dave Ziegler. But by winning 9 games, a 3-game improvement over a prior year, narrowly missing a wild card, say, Mark Davis is going to retain everybody and they're going to come back for year 3.
Well, I
got one last point to that. And the last thing too, Raider Nation, for everybody that's calling to fire McDaniels, I don't subscribe to the idea that the Raiders are broke. I think that's, again, a lazy-ass take. They're one of the most highly valued sports franchises, especially in the NFL. And so the idea that they're broke is silly. That said, John Gruden had a guaranteed contract. And the way that I understand it, no one's ever been able to point it to me in black and white. But in terms of the overall response that I've gotten from folks is that coaches' contracts are guaranteed. So even if, you know, we're like a player's contract is not. Your players get a certain amount of guaranteed money. But in terms of coaches, if you get a four-year deal for $10 million, you're going to get $40 million. It's just a done deal. So that said, if we've got Gruden rolling with a 10-year, $10 million contract, McDaniels has a four-year, okay? You're not going to fire McDaniels and hire a third coach. Even though the Raiders on paper could probably afford it, it's really sloppy finances there. If you're talking about paying three guys $10 million to be your head coach for a particular year, you know what I'm saying? So I think the likelihood of that, it becomes reduced when you start to account that. So that said, if he would have only won a game or two and lost the locker room, he probably would have got fired. But this guy is most likely going to win 7 to 10 games. The Raiders are going to make the playoffs narrowly or miss them, and he's going to be our coach. So I would say this, and let's make it positive, and I don't want to just get off the coach and get more on the team too. I'm going to root for him. I'll be critical of him about some of the body language and the oratorship. Is that a word?
I don't think so.
Okay. His ability to be an orator? That works, yeah.
He talked good.
He talked good. But I'll be critical of some of those things and some of the you know, his lack of inspiration and his wanting to be Belichick before he's got the bona fides to be Belichick. But all that said, I'm going to root for the guy, man, because he's the guy that's running the Raiders right now on the field, and so I want him to be the best. All right, so let's – unless you got any more final thoughts.
I got one final thought on
please
that.
Please do, and then let's talk about the players.
And I don't want to belabor the fact that I think you're all washed up and you're completely wrong on all of your assessments of him. I will say this, that it used to be like this. I don't know if it still is, but in the coaching world, you're never expected to make a turnaround, a 150% turnaround completely, 100%, excuse me, turn around your first year. You're given 3 years. You're given your first year to start rebuilding your team, start refocusing what you want to do into your game plan. Your second year is adding to that, and your third year is when you make your move. And I think that that's what I think it's because it's been such a struggle for us for so many years that we want that pill. We want that instant right now. Put it right here under my tongue. Let it dissolve, and I want to go to the playoffs. And it's not going to happen, Raider Nation. To get something to last, to get something to build on, you have to come in with the foundation. And every coach that's worth his weight that comes into a new program has to tear down the old and start with his own foundation. And sometimes that rubs a lot of feathers the wrong way. And I think that's part of the reason that I like to stick by the coach at least for that 3 years. It may be a struggle. That last year was a struggle. This year started off as a struggle, and it's getting better. We're back to 500 ball, okay? And next year, if we don't make the playoffs this year, I had us at 10-7. I'll say it again. I had us at 10-7. Do I still stick by that? Absolutely, okay? We can do it. And then the following year, if we make the playoffs at 10-7, that's great. The following year, we get through a first round or a second round game in the playoffs, even if it's wild card or whatever it may be. But you have to give a coach 3 years. It's ridiculous to think they can do it in less. I'm sorry. That's the way of the world. You have to give them time. There is no magic pill. Just like I said, there's no switch that you can flip. Oh, well, you know, I said, let's see, two weeks ago when I was on here, I said, let's see how the team responds. And there's no switch to be flipped, but the team has started to show. Man, you talked about it on the last show. When Crosby hit that quarterback, first of all, I think it was a ticky-tack call. He barely knocked him down.
And let's do that. Let's get to the players.
Okay. He barely knocked the guy down, okay? They're on the 4.5 yard line. All right. He knocks him down. They know they're going to try to run the ball in. Okay. He knocks the guy down. Oh, late hit. Half the distance to the goal. Half the distance. Let me tell you how important this is. He puts him on his ass. Half the distance to the goal. Okay, so they move it up to the 1.5 or 1 3/4 or whatever it is. All right? No big deal. Everybody's going, oh, that was costly. That was costly. No, it wasn't. Because you know why? Because when right before Crosby got his safety, here he comes. Unabated. Nobody's touching him. Oh, he's on his way in. And the guy looks at Crosby and throws the ball at Crosby's feet, scared to death. Why? Because Crosby was going to lay hands on him again. And he didn't, but he was gonna. And then when he did, when he swam through there untouched and scored safety.
Beat two guys. Two guys.
They didn't even touch him.
That was
Highlight reel. That's MVP reel
right
there.
Hell yes. That defensive player of the year.
You don't think that stuff is gonna transcend? You don't think Crosby was walking up and down the line? People were high-fiving him, smacking him on his ass, telling him what a great job that was? Yeah. Yeah.
That was badass.
You don't think the offensive guys that he goes against every single day in practice and the practice squad and everybody else that he's smashing heads with, that he's practicing these techniques with, are also getting some of that stuff going, man, that's awesome. They're all part of that. That's why this is a freaking team sport, and we can't lose sight of that. And that may not come from coach. Coach may not be out there. He may not be the guy. That's just not his makeup. You know, maybe he's more cerebral. Maybe they recognize that. Maybe he's got his assistants over there as the ones that are rooting and hooting.
You mean the guy that looks like you?
The guy that looks like me that's over there eating bugs and breaking broomsticks on his head. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's what I'm saying. I think the players are going to respond. I said it 3 weeks ago. I said I'm going to keep going. Even when we win these ticky-tack games, we get a few cheap shot calls. It's okay. It's okay. All right. It'll be all right.
It's good. It's old
school. It'll be all right. It helps with the culture.
That's a great call out. You know, and I love that him beating it. I wouldn't even call it a double team. It reminded me of.
They barely touched him. Well, it was flag football.
Remember for those of you that are old enough that have had the calendar turned a few times, you remember the Bugs Bunny baseball cartoon where the pitcher throws the ball and there's like, he gets like a bunch of swings
at it.
Ball just keeps. And so Max Crosby, like, running through two offensive linemen. it wasn't a double team, but it was like they set up a gauntlet for him to run through, and he freaking bowls through.
He gets hit harder than that by the guy making $14 an hour holding that plastic dummy going like that. Put more on Max. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. Could Carmen Brasillo making 14 bucks an hour with his pad?
that guy hits Max harder than those two idiots do.
Oh, my gosh. That's too funny, man. But, yeah, Max was on fire tonight. Love to see Trey Tucker have a couple of good catches in there. Michael Mayer, second-round draft pick out of Notre Dame, the guy that we were calling Baby Dave Casper, had a game tonight.
Oh, my guy missing the interception.
Oh, my gosh. Right into his Marcus Peters.
Marcus.
It was basically
It wasn't Peters. It was.
Wasn't it? Oh, no. It was Bob Spillane.
Mickey Spillane.
Yeah.
He was, because I called him too. He was seeing, there was nothing between him and the end zone. It was a pick six.
Oh, we're talking about two different plays.
I'm talking about when Spillane missed the pick six.
He almost jumped that route.
Yes. And there was nothing between him and the end zone. And you could just see in his, as he moved his body towards the end zone when he was going for the. He wishes he had that back, but you know what?
Yes,
he took his helmet off, and he's got the sweat and the blood and the black stuff running down his. Love that guy.
That dude's a Raider, man.
Oh, man, he's a Raider.
He's a Raider,
and he's in Villapiano's number.
Let's go.
He'll mix it up.
Oh hell yeah!
I love that guy.
Absolutely.
Love that guy.
Absolutely. I was so. And speaking of dudes that are Raiders, Like everybody's a Raider by title, right? Because they play for the team. But I'm talking about like a Raider, like in here,
mm-hmm.
Marcus Peters, man. Like that one. So that the yep, pass went yep, out, and yep. It was like the guy fumbled it out, or it was Ramondre Stevenson, Las Vegas native, and so he starts to fumble the ball because he turned, which is what got Spillane. He turned his eyes up.
Yep.
Before he secured the ball.
Yep.
And so Stevenson fumbles the ball up, and it like. Like, I don't know how Marcus Peters didn't come out with that. He was like, right there. He's like, ah! Like, oh my gosh. That was great. But like, you know what? I say this, like, even though this was it's a bad football team. And listen, I don't want to belabor that point because I think we all get it. We all get and understand the context. That said, like Masha's point earlier, what do you want him to do against a bad football team? Yes, I know 21 should not be your season high total, but the Raiders scored a season high total tonight of points and beat pretty handily. I mean, there was never, but there were very few points of this football game where it felt like we didn't have a chance to win this. The Raiders felt like we were in control for the entirety of the game. Well, what else do you want against a weaker opponent? Like that's it. Like you want to see your players outplay theirs. And granted, I understand Matthew Judon is hurt and they've got a lot of injuries and they've got a lot of things going on with that team. But you can only play who's in front of you, and the Raiders got the W, and the ultimate, you know, the NFL's a meritocracy, and the ultimate, you know, criteria to be judged on success is numbers in one column versus numbers in the mm-hmm. other. And tonight, we put one number in the left column and a zero in the right column, and that's all that counts, man. So we're going to ride that thing. We're going to be positive and thankful for that. I'm thankful for those freaking dogs on defense that got it done. And this defense is creeping up the list. We always said, man, if the Raiders only had like a middle defense,
mm-hmm.
if we only gave Derek or whoever, if we only gave him like a 15th overall ranked defense, well, guess what? We're creeping up to that now. The Raiders are going to be about middle of the pack probably after this game in terms of the defensive rankings. And that's progress, right? So that's something to lean into.
How many coaches and how much coach speak and how many pundits and writers and newscasters and everybody else talk about the tale of the two halves when they talk about the season? We did it. We did it on this show for 6, 8, 10 years, however long we've done it. Oh, we were great up until the bye. We were great.
How many times
have I heard your young ass say that? We were great up until the bye. I question your fandom a little bit about that, Murph. We.
Oh, damn it. Hell. Why am I in trouble?
Why am I in grounded? Am I going to timeout? No, seriously, though. We talk about that. We can't bail after 6 games. We haven't even made it to halfway yet.
Yeah, no,
you know
right.
the tale of the tape is going to tell. Let's let it play out. That's why we play the game.
All right, so let's hit one more point here before we get out of here. So, okay, we're going up against a really bad Chicago team. We all, I think, can agree that the Raiders are good enough to beat this team. Besides Max Crosby, right?
Okay.
Besides even Devontae Adams,
okay.
like the guys that we know are the elite of the elite, literally the best in the NFL at what they do. Give me something else that you're looking for on field. Player position, like what do you want to see the Raiders continue to improve on in order to lead to a successful potentially 9 or 10 win season?
Okay, so I don't think when you take a quarterback to the hospital. And again, thoughts and prayers 100% with Jimmy G. But when you take a player to the hospital, you have to start planning and processing and making arrangements for the next game. I'm not going to expect miracles. I'm not going to expect a blowout when we go into Chicago. But we got a quarterback who's got 15 years experience. Yes, granted, he wasn't a starter, but we wouldn't have had him. Okay, this is not a Marcus Mariota here.
Well, I'm going to throw a little caveat. I'm not interrupting. Okay, I'm just asking a question. With now a full week to prepare, knowing that, I mean, obviously, if the guy's going to the hospital, it's likely he's out this week.
It's likely he's out this week, so and that's what I'm saying.
Instead of a 15-year guy, do you put in Aiden O'Connell?
No, I don't. I'll tell you why.
Please do.
Because without having game experience this year, the way he came in and he took control and he didn't go to Devontae Adams.
He went to Trey Tucker.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Maybe number 13 might catch a ball.
Oh my gosh. The Hoyer to Renfro connection.
That's what I'm screaming. Why not? Why not? Maybe we still keep in mind that the run sets up the pass, but it doesn't always have to go to Devontae. You know, maybe it can go back to Renfro.
Gosh, I mean, Hunter Renfro, man.
They called his name once today when he recovered the short the kick after the safety.
Unbelievable. I still don't get that. Wow, that's a whole nother story.
We don't know. We don't know what's going on there. We don't know what the game plan is. We don't know if he's content with being the second half of the season main target. We don't know.
How funny would that be if this is all one big setup? If you know what I mean? Like, that would be really funny if the freaking Raiders have kept Hunter Renfro on ice
just to unleash him against Miami.
It would be
such a Raider thing to do.
Oh, this is the kind of shit that I root for. Like, and this is where, like, you know, if I hope they're that clever.
We watch too much WWE. Because the next thing you know, you're going to get like AB's going to come out of the stands and hit somebody with a tray.
Wouldn't that be so funny?
I'm telling you.
Here we are like wondering where freaking Hunter Renfro is, and that he comes out and has 8 catches for 159 yards and 3 touchdowns by Brian Hoyer.
I love it. But why not? If you're going to go to the Renfro connection, why not do it against Chicago?
Well, if you're going to start to develop it, this would be the time to do
that's
it.
That's the time to do it against. You look at, if I'm coaching this and I'm not a head coach, I would never even claim to know what they know. But I would look at Chicago like a preseason game. Because you're coming in
talk that smack, Mosh. I love it.
Do what?
I didn't want to steal their line, but Graf Rader always says, talk that shit. treat Chicago like it's a preseason
treat
game.
Treat Chicago that's like it's a preseason game right there. You know? Sorry. You know, I might not even sit my first string.
You're out of control.
Is it time to go home? Gosh,
yeah, let's get the heck out of here.
Oh my gosh, this is so much fun.
It's so much fun. We appreciate you, Raider Nation. Can you see the chat room, Mosh?
Hang on, I gotta put my glasses on.
See if you can get your chat room up there and chat room, because they've been awesome. And we've had some other super chats in there. If we can't find your super chat, I'm so sorry. Just know that we appreciate you and we love you and we appreciate that support. And 100% of that money goes to the One Nation Foundation that gives strictly to Raiders related charities.
Lentro, Tony Shefford, Bernardo Ball Bomber, J Ray, Foxy Scorpio, Vibrator.
Hi, baby.
Johnny Tildwins, Boogie, the Grumpy Raider Fan.
That's your buddy, Kiljadis.
Speaking
of wrestling,
Johnny Tildwins. Maddox is in there. Let's see, who else is in there? Man, pardon me. Excuse me, great microphone.
Don't die.
Tony Shefford is in there. Freddie Chavez is in there. Rocco. Hey, Sam A., thank you for the super chat. We appreciate you right
Sam.
There.
Yes. What's he say?
He says, start Favre to know if we need to draft a quarterback next year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what I'm saying. So Sergeant Favre and Super Troopers looks just like Aiden O'Connell.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what they say. He may look like Favre, but he plays like Favre.
I gotcha. Yeah. Hooligan Nation, who's that? Vic Sacramento, J Ray, Dominique Five.
Y'all are the best. Thank you.
Anyway, it goes on and on and on, and I can barely see this because I don't have anything on the wall behind me. I need a pencil back there.
But thank you, guys. I appreciate you all very, very much for supporting Raiders Fan Radio in the way that you do. Uncle Mosh, this is fun. Hey, listen, you know, there's a lot to debate around this Raiders team, but the bottom line is this. This week, we're 1-0. You know, so we're gonna freaking run with that. We're gonna be excited about that. And I understand expectations and I understand context, but the Raiders are 1-0. Like, as long as the Raiders are gonna win, this is back to back wins. First time this season.
Back to back wins.
We've had back to back, and we got a chance to run 3 in a row here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't care if they're chumps or not. I'm gonna lock into that. I'm gonna root for the Raiders that are, not the Raiders that aren't. Uncle Mosh, right now, our Raiders are 500, man. We're 3-3. We're right in the damn mix for the wild cards. And and even lightly into the division, and God forbid we beat the damn Chiefs, we can make a season out of this.
Oh, so my gosh. It's,
give us some final thoughts as we get on out of here.
We have to play the game. We got to go out there. We got to support the team. But if we don't, you know, if we don't win, we get out there and we crap the bed, we'll be here next year.
We ain't going nowhere.
We ain't trading our shirts in. And yes, I will be wearing my lucky outfit with my shitty lawn.
And your socks.
And my rolled down socks. You know what? I like my socks. My socks are older than that punk that tweeted that on Twitter.
Leave Mosh's socks alone.
Hey, Raider Nation, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to catch these guys on Wednesday. They'll be here. Michelle will be over there. Swaggy J will be here in my chair. And I'll be back. Probably next Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday after the Chicago game. Look forward to
the Chicago game after that preseason game. And we'll find out what happens. But remember, it's Raider Nation. We are Raider Fan Radio, where we take a lighter side journey into the dark side. What happens in Vegas started in Oakland. Good night, everybody. God bless. Adios, malingerer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.